Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Michael Long, who has served as chair of the New York State Conservative Party since 1988. Michael Long, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Alan.
I guess the first question I have is, remind everybody how you became conservative.
Well, I don't know if I was born that way or, in fact...
Were your parents conservative?
Actually, no. My dad was a Democrat, and my mom was a Republican. And I guess how I really got drawn into the Conservative Party was Barry Goldwater's candidacy for president back in 1964. What drove me to the Conservative Party is the Republican Party in New York State, even after the convention, when Goldwater beat Rockefeller, the Republican Party in the state of New York sat on their hands for on Goldwater, which threw me towards the Conservative Party.
Is there any way the Republican Party can win in New York State without your endorsement, without the Conservative Party endorsement?
Well, I am sure that is possible. Nothing's ever implausible, but they haven't been able to do that since 1974. So, you know, bottom line is, since 1974, the only Republicans elected statewide have been with the Conservative Party endorsement. Well, and I think it's a pretty healthy marriage when that happens.
So do they have to check in with you? I mean, you know, to say, okay.
No, people don't check in with me. Look, our party stands for something. And I would submit to you, we're in our 50th year. We just celebrated a very large dinner at the Hotel Sheraton, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the party and the founders. And, you know, we stand for a set of principles. And I don't think we're dogmatic. I think we're flexible at many a times.
Give me an example of flexibility that you think you have.
Well, we have endorsed a lot of candidates, so don't dot the I and cross. Not every candidate up and down the state of New York, state senators, assemblymen, congressmen, not all of them dot the I and cross the T, and we don't, you know, we have certain values that we draw a line on, and last year that one of those values was traditional marriage.
I was just about to go there.
Well, I got there before you. You don't support traditional marriage, you don't get the Conservative Party endorsement. If you support partial birth abortion, you don't get the Conservative Party endorsement. So we try to be flexible with candidates, but if those two issues, if you can't be supportive of traditional marriage, then, you know, our party has to stand for something. And some people say it's, you know, cutting off our nose in spite of itself, but you know what? Bottom line is, I think it's more important for a party to have some identity and clearly stand for a set of goals.
So there are, four senators who went off the reservation on this, and Andrew Cuomo said he would campaign for them. And are they in danger?
Well, I don't know. Well, one's already gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was
Senator
gone.
Senator Lisi's already gone.
What happened to him?
He decided not to run.
Do you think he decided it because the...
Well, I think he said it was because of his... I think there was a lot of mixed views there why he decided not to run. He had his own personal problems in his community. But I think the same-sex marriage vote really affected him and created the Republican chairman there was even opposed. And it was looking like he was going to have a primary. So I think he took the easy way out and decided to not run again for re-election. I think Senator McDonald, he has a primary coming up. I don't know who's going to be victorious or not on that. Certainly we're going to support his opponent. Senator Crisanti, he now has an opponent. He lost the Conservative Party endorsement. That's up in Buffalo. I don't know how the outcome of that one is. And I think Senator Saland probably is the only clear, safe senator who voted for against traditional marriage, rather, and he probably will be okay. He's sort of an institution and isn't really at this moment, doesn't seem to be strong opposition. There is a candidate running against him, but I don't see strong opposition against him.
How's Governor Andrew Cuomo doing?
He's nibbling at the edges. He's doing some good stuff.
What do you mean nibbling at the edges?
Well, he's nibbling at the edges of trying to get the state back on track. I mean, unemployment still is very high here in the state of New York. And, he was, as far as I'm concerned, he certainly disappointed me when he promoted the same-sex marriage bill. And even bigger than that, when he broke his word on raising taxes, okay? That was a mistake on his behalf, I believe. But he's trying to reform and control some of the spending. He's looking to try to do some pension reform. He has been successful with some of that. He has put forth budgets without in severe increase in spending, and has limited the spending increases here in the state of New York. Like I said, but the biggest letdown for me was the two issues was when he raised taxes by $1 billion, and he also passed he was the promoter of the same-sex marriage bill.
Let's talk a little bit about redistricting. One of the things he said is he wanted an outside group doing the redistricting. He didn't do that. How has redistricting this year, which affected a lot of people, affected the Conservative Party?
It has an effect. It actually worked out to our benefit when it comes to congressional lines and, in all honesty, for the Senate lines. The lines were also in pretty good shape there. You know, I think he meant that he would like to see a nonpartisan redistricting, and I think the way they got away with it was passing a bill that 10 years from now, they're supposedly being mandated by a nonpartisan group to do reapportionment.
So yeah.
10 years, that's what you call kicking a can down the road, and there'll be a whole new set of elected officials 10 years from now who will change that too.
I'm sure that's true.
Self-interest is more important than sometimes doing the right thing.
It tends to work that way. You mentioned that the state Senate, of course, you were in better shape because Cuomo did not veto the bill. And, of course, because he let the Republicans redo their own house.
Well, it's one of the things I think the governor understands. While he probably, and him and the state Senate don't necessarily agree on everything, I think the governor understands he's the state is in much better shape with having the Republican Senate than having the Senate controlled by the Democrats. It would be...
Why do you say that, Goose? Do you think they'd go crazy?
They would push the envelope on him as far as spending and taxing, okay? And I don't think he wants to go down that road. I think he is looking on the national scene. He's trying to be a centrist Democrat, okay? It would almost become impossible for him to do that if, in fact, the Democrats get control of the state Senate.
If the Conservative Party has issues with those senators who messed up, according to their dictates, on same-sex marriage, and the Senate went Democratic, would you feel bad?
Look, I would feel bad. I want to see the Senate remain in Republican control. But it's not that it was a secret what we were going to do if, in fact, they were forewarned. There was a resolution passed by the State Executive Committee. Every senator and every assembly person received a copy of the resolution. Everyone was told, if, in fact, you vote for to destroy traditional marriage, and that's what that really means, destroying traditional marriage, in fact, you are no longer qualified to receive the Conservative Party endorsement.
Now, I don't want to get into a big fight with you, but why, if two guys get married or two women get married, would that destroy traditional marriage?
Well, it's very look. Traditional marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right, right.
Okay? And the purpose of marriage is to promote families. And men getting married to two women, they're not going to be necessarily, without a doubt, they're not going to be raising families or having children.
But what do you care what they do?
Well, I don't care what they do in their private life. I really don't. But I also don't think they should be trying to change an institution that's been with us since the beginning of the time.
Okay. We could talk about that for an hour. Suffice to say we're not on the same page.
And I have no problem with people who have a different persuasion. What they do in their private life, they do in their private life. But don't try to change. And already we have problems with it where there's going to be lawsuits against churches for not permitting marriages to take place. And, you know, so this, we don't want to spend the whole hour on the show.
You're right. So I'll switch subjects to Mitt Romney. Now, it's clear that Mitt Romney was not favored by the conservative wing of the GOP, but is now the nominee. What does the New York State Conservative Party make of this campaign, and what are you going to do about Romney?
Well, the state executive committee has already passed a resolution that is supporting Governor Romney for president of the United States. Now, that doesn't become official until our convention in September, when we then nominate to authorize a candidate for president of the United States. And that is after the Republican convention. We're always last, and we do that after the Republican convention. There is no secret that Governor Romney was not necessarily the favorite of registered conservatives up and down the state of New York, but I believe the reason why the executive committee moved forward was to close the issue on that once he became apparent that he was going to be the nominee of the party. He campaigned as a conservative. He not only this time, but he campaigned the last time as a conservative. And while there's some conservative passion missing from his campaign, I believe looking at the alternative, looking at the future of the United States of America, 4 more years of President Obama would be detrimental to on the issues of taxes, spending, leaders as leaders of a free world. I don't think we can afford to go 4 more years with President Obama.
If President Obama gets reelected, do you think he will be more, from your perspective, dangerous than he is now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be no stopping him then. Because, you know, Bill Clinton, when he first got elected, he tried to govern to the left for the first 2 years. If you remember, the first 2 years of his presidency, when it didn't work, he had enough common sense and logic to move somewhat to the center and then try to put legislation together with the opposition. And he became a centrist president. This gentleman, who I don't think ever had the experience of being a governor or running anything, he is a total ideologue, meaning President Obama, and he refuses to compromise any of his left-wing ideas, and therefore he's taken America down the wrong road to socialism. He's leading us towards a European-style socialist government, and he's, you know, walked around the world here apologizing for America's greatness.
So, Michael Long, let me ask you this. What specifically do you see as programs that are leading us on the road to socialism?
Well, certainly Obamacare. I mean, it's ends, you know, cap and trade.
Cap and trade has been around through the Bush administration, too, right?
Right. Well, you know, I didn't say Bush was perfect by any means. We had our problems with President Bush on many of his spending issues also. But certainly Obamacare. We can't afford Obamacare.
Well, what about 40 million people who get put back on the rolls who didn't have health care? Shouldn't the greatest industrial democracy in the world be able to take care of its people?
Look, I think the greatest industrial country in the world, which we are slipping away from, should be able to help as many people as possible. But the reality is that we cannot afford the amount in debt that's being put on us. We cannot afford the ever-increasing rise in taxes and taking the wealth out of people's pocket and taking the incentive away from people who have made this nation great. The signal is there's got to be another way to do this. And there are other ways to do this and take care of people. This is not about throwing people off the rolls. I mean, how look what they did with Obamacare. They stole $500 billion out of Medicare, which is the Medicare program is in trouble financially as it is. And they're supposed to be caring about senior citizens.
Michael, do you think that, because I, you know, I talk to people like Nan Hayworth all the time and the others, and, you know, they have no use for Medicare either in terms of the way it's being run, as opposed to giving it over to insurance companies and others to run. I think that's a fair statement. Now you're talking about how he's ruining Medicare, but conservatives really supporting Medicare?
Well, they certainly don't support stealing $500 billion out of it to fund Obamacare. That certainly is not good math, and it's a not a good system to move forward on. So, and Obamacare has 20 new taxes in the bill. There are ways we can. We don't need 2,200 pages of a complicated bill, and no one knows what's in the bill, and we're only finding out day by day if something new every day that's in the bill. Clearly, we need a simplistic plan to take care of the people across the nation and help people out who are in need.
New York is the financial capital of the country, the world. We have bills that are coming due now, Dodd-Frank bill. Do you think that our corporations in America need somebody to ride herd on them or not?
Look, I think there's always room to watch corporations and individuals. We need regulations, but we don't need abusive regulations. You got to remember, Alan, that corporations, you know, while it's easy for some elected officials from the left to pound away on corporations, corporations are people. Corporations are the engine that, in many ways, that create jobs. Corporations are people who are middle class, lower middle class, who have employment in various corporations. And corporations supply the energy to feed our population and to create wealth in our nation.
So I take it you basically agree with the Supreme Court and Citizens United in terms of allowing corporations to spend whatever they want on elections.
Well, I don't see why the ground rules should be any different for corporations than labor unions.
No, I agree with you. But
far as spending on elections, I just think there should be full transparency. That's all.
So that some of these PACs and others should tell all?
I think there should be full transparency when it comes to when it comes to financing campaigns. The more restrictive and more regulations you put on it, the less citizen public officials you have getting involved in the race.
Let me switch subjects. All the statewide offices, governor, LG, AG, comptroller, are all held by Democrats. The last three governors were Democrats. How can the Conservative Party compete with Democratic enrollment advantage in New York?
Well, it has become more difficult, and it has become more difficult for the Conservative Party. There's no question about it. The demographics have changed. We have driven most of our productive citizens out of the state to other and industry to other states, whether it be Florida, Texas, North Carolina. We are losing some of our greatest productive citizens because of intense regulations, high taxes, and the amount of spending that goes on in the state of New York. It is a tough task, but I believe it is still plausible to elect people on a statewide level on the Republican conservative line if they are not Democratic-like, as long as they present an alternative to what is going on in New York State. And I think that's what Andrew Cuomo is trying to do. He's almost trying to act somewhat Republican-like as governor on certain issues.
I agree with that.
As governor of the state of New York. So, and those issues are fairly popular with the, you know, people in the state of New York, up and down the state of New York, are starting to realize that their families can't afford what's going on here.
I like to read the real estate section in the New York Times, and I live, I hate to tell you this, over in Massachusetts. And, you know, we pay about $8,000 on a fairly big house. That house, I'm sure, would be $25,000, $30,000 in Westchester or Long Island. Is that what you're talking about?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Look, I know young people who live out in Long Island. Their taxes are now $14,000 to $16,000 a year. They have young kids going to school. What are they going to do? And at the rate of the property increases taking place, when their kids get old enough and leave and go to college and move, what those families have can no longer afford those homes as senior citizens.
But taxes pay for things. They pay for schools, they pay for fire departments, they pay for, you know, different things, water and the rest. If you cut taxes, don't you have to cut services?
Alan, I served on the New York City Council from 1981 to 1983 in New York City. When I took office, the budget of the city of New York was $11.4 billion. The state budget was $25 billion. What I submit to you is that things have not become that much better. We have increased social programs, entitlement programs, and we on the backs of the hardworking men and women who are being taxed out of existence in this state of New York, whether it's through property taxes, whether it's through business taxes, or whether it's through personal income taxes.
I want to ask you something. In my state, in Massachusetts, where I live, third parties are easier to run with because you can vote in any primary, you can take an open ballot, the rest of it. Are New York state laws restrictive to third-party development?
No, I think New York state law has been very helpful to third-party development. In order to form a third party, once you pass the petition period, all you need to do is get 50,000 votes on it, and you become an official recognized party in the state of New York. The reason it was so simplistic and so easy was there, if you remember, before the creation of the Conservative Party, there was a Liberal Party, which everyone was happy with, both Republicans and Democrats. And the Liberal Party was driving the engine on both parties. And that's how we came about. And I think.
And you elected Alphonse D'Amato, right? I mean.
And we first ran Paul Adams for governor of the state of New York, and we elected Al D'Amato. We elected George Pataki. We defeated Mario Cuomo, ended his career. We elected Ronald Reagan twice with the margin of victory in 1980 and in 1984. And we provided the margin of victory, and we still provide the margin of victory for many congressmen, senators, and assemblymen up and down the state of New York.
Now, you only got 147,000 registered voters out of 11 million in New York. How does that work?
Yeah, we only have 147,000 registered voters, but we usually get 2 to 3 times the amount of people voting on our line, okay? And when we run our own candidate, when we have a real disagreement with our traditional partners, the Republican Party, sometimes we do as well as 800,000 votes, or we elected Jim Buckley back in 1970.
I remember.
with 2 million votes.
Do you talk to Andrew Cuomo? Do you talk to Dean Skelos? Do you talk to Shelley Silver? I mean,
I don't talk to Shelley.
Okay, so you don't talk to Shelley.
He doesn't want to talk to him, but I've talked on many occasions with the governor. The present governor, and I've certainly talked to Dean Skelos on many occasions. Most of the conversation we have is on issues.
How long do you want to do this job?
Should I say another 50 years?
Here I am, a 71-year-old, asking you that question, but how long do you want to do it?
There you go. I got you beat. I'm 72. Look, I still enjoy doing what I am doing. I certainly know I can't do this forever, nor do I want to do it forever. But I still enjoy what I'm doing. I still believe that we can make a difference in New York State, and we have made a difference. I mean, 2 years ago, we helped elect 6 new congressmen because of the Conservative Party.
I want to ask you one more question, Michael Long, just so everybody knows it, because there's some misinformation out there. Wendy Long, who's going to run against Kirsten Gillibrand, is not a Long in your family, is she?
She's not. She has no relation whatsoever, but the poor girl is being accused of being either my daughter, niece, or cousin, and she has no relation whatsoever.
Well, Michael Long, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your spending some time with us and giving your perspective. It's very important to us, and we thank you for it.
I'm very pleased that you called and be willing to do it anytime.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.